This morning is the fourth Sunday of Lent, and we continue to journey with John toward the cross of Jesus. This morning we do that by going to the most familiar passage maybe in all of Scripture. If I approached people in a parking lot and asked them to repeat back or to recite a verse that they had memorized, some would be able to do so. And they would maybe use a verse that they learned in Sunday school, or a verse that they learned in Bible school, or a verse that their grandmother taught them. Or maybe it would be a verse from a time when there was a tragedy in their life and the Bible spoke to them. Many would be able to do so, while others might look at me and make a comment or decline the invitation and walk away. Maybe even some negative comment about Christianity before storming off. But if I asked someone, if I changed my question and asked them to simply name a Bible verse, name a passage in Scripture, well, I think the results would be much different. And I believe that almost everyone could do it. What do you think they might say? I would guess that the vast majority would go to the bumper stickers and signs in the stadiums of John 3:16. You know, they once did a documentary on the guy that carried around the John 3:16 sign, and he wasn't even really particularly interested in the football games or even in having the sign at the football game, but it just kind of caught on, and then he became that guy, and so he had that role. And I guess on some levels, maybe someone watching the TV would say, what is this John 3:16? And they might look it up to see and maybe be introduced to the gospel. I guess this verse has become the one-word answer when I'm talking to my children or when a child is called on in class to describe the Christian faith. The simple way to describe as quickly as possible what it takes. But to do this severely minimizes the power and the message of this passage for John. So let's spend a few moments today in John chapter 3. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you this day for the gift of this, your word. We thank you for the chance to come together this morning and spend time in it. May our hearts and minds be open to this passage and the message you have for us this day. May just one word of mine be yours. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 3:14-21. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes to the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done and has been done in the sight of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Before I get rolling today, I want to tell you a little bit about my sources, as I didn't really write them in as good as I need to maybe in the sermon text, and I might stumble over them and forget them, so I want to just mention them all at the beginning now. The first is an article by Raymond Brown, the biblical scholar, entitled The Johannine World for Preachers. And then two commentaries, one by Marilyn Salmon of the United Theological Seminary and another by Lance Pope of the Bright Divinity School at Texas Christian University, which was far more progressive than I am normally used to. So it was interesting to read his perspective this week and actually found some very useful tidbits in there. So that's it for the commercials. Here we go. We must be very careful when we approach the third chapter of John not to only focus on verses 16 and 17. I talked with the kids in the children's message, and I mentioned at the beginning about John 3:16, but for me, it wasn't enough to learn only 16. The Christian school that I went to as a kid had me learn 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And together, those verses pack a punch. But if we just focus on those two, we would be devaluing the entire chapter and the importance of this gospel. We established last week that John is different than the other gospels, and John is more intent on getting his message across, even if that means that Jesus is going to come across as harsh or blunt or real at times. Marilyn Salmon says, "Christians know the verse well because it is a straightforward expression of God's love for the world and a promise of eternal life. Its summary of an essential truth of Christian belief tempts us to isolate it from its place within the Gospel of John. However, when we do read further, we may wish we hadn't." And maybe you heard that in the talk about light and darkness and those who turn away from the light because they like the darkness. "For the following verses might seem a little contradictory," she writes. "How can God so love the world that God sends his son in order to save the world, but at the same time condemn so many in it?" And this has been a problem for Christians for centuries. You know, this is why there's such a draw to universalism now, and to the idea that if we're good and we give God the little nod and maybe we acknowledge that there's this guy Jesus who's one of the ways maybe or something like that, then we're all set. And that is not what John 3 tells us. We encounter a characteristic of the Gospel of John in this reading in the sharp divisions between believers and non-believers, the saved and the condemned, people who love darkness rather than light, do evil and not good. This is not an easy passage. It's important that we remember that these verses are found in the context of Jesus' interaction with Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus is an important official that met with Jesus in the night for fear of discovery because he had questions about what Jesus was teaching. And Jesus tells him in the first 10 verses or so, 10, 12, 11, 13, we picked up at 14, but really the first 10 are his interaction with Nicodemus. And in those verses, he tells him that he must be born again. And we know that Nicodemus is confused by this. We know that Nicodemus says, "How am I to enter my mother's womb? I'm an old man." And so it is in this context that Jesus gives us our passage today. And these verses given to us by Jesus, 14 through 21, are the why and how to what he has told Nicodemus about spiritual rebirth. So when we read this in that context, we begin to understand how important they are for that explanation. The passage starts out with some trouble as Jesus describes himself as a serpent. And this would normally give us cause for alarm, right? But he is referring to Numbers 21, specifically Numbers 21:9. And here is the 10-cent version of what's taking place in Numbers chapter 21. The Israelites have sinned against God, and God sends serpents into their camp, and many were bitten and died. God instructs Moses to make a serpent and place it on a staff so that those who are bitten can look to this staff and be spared. This is not a pagan image, but a reminder that it was God who was doing the saving. So Jesus is really using a powerful example of God's deliverance to establish that he will be doing the same. That is why he is here. The Jesus we are meeting here in John is a bold one. The premise of the article, The Johannine World for Preachers, is the necessity to enter into the world of John and its symbolic universe. Brown gives this advice. He says, "Do not domesticate the Johannine Jesus. It is his style to say things that border on the offensive. Be puzzled and even offended. But do not silence this Jesus by what he should not have said and what your hearers should not have heard." The Jesus of John is different from that of the Synoptic Gospels in that he is urgent. He has a message of salvation and redemption. He recognizes that there is darkness, and he openly acknowledges that some won't believe. Professor Pope said that we have to acknowledge three things from this passage as we look to apply it to our lives. He says, one, placing our trust in this Jesus means withholding our ultimate loyalty and trust from other things that ask us to pledge our allegiance. Remembering that he was publicly executed as an enemy of the empire, we must be honest with ourselves about the subtle ways we are complicit in and benefit from imperial coercion. The lifting up of Jesus on a Roman cross places ever before us the question of who will we serve. The second one he offers us is this. Placing our trust in Jesus means noticing that the new life that Jesus offered was especially difficult for the religiously accomplished. Right? Think about who struggled the most with what Jesus had to say. It was the Pharisees. We must repent of the ways of our self-satisfied religiosity when it becomes a barrier to understanding the new things Jesus offers and asks of us. The lifting up of Jesus is a stumbling block of those obsessed with decorum and conformity to tradition. And finally, he says this. Placing our trust in this Jesus means confronting the inconvenient truth that God's purpose for those God loves are not synonymous with our own common sense values of happiness, health, and safety. The trail of faith that Jesus blazes reveals that while there is nothing in this world worth killing for, there are things worth dying for. The lifting up of Jesus reminds us that the true life God has promised us is not the life that we can secure for ourselves through self-interest and caution. These are not easy for us. And as we continue on our Lenten journey, I want to challenge you to deal with the difficult realities of a life in faith. The next time you see a John 3:16 sign, remember that this is more than a cute bumper sticker. It's more than a cute expression of God's love. It is a passionate plea for people to look to the cross of Jesus for their salvation. Amen.